Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of the PewterReport.com and Pewter Report podcast. We are back from Mobile, Alabama. We've missed all the Pewter people. It's been a little while, but we got a lot to get into in this new era of Bucks football. It is the Liam Cohen era as he takes over as offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll talk a lot about him, some Pro Bowl stuff, and some other head or assistant coaching news regarding your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is the face that runs the place at PewterReport.com, SR Scott Reynolds. Scott, how are we doing to start out this week?
Doing good. I'm excited to talk about Liam Cohen and also to talk to Liam Cohen because we've gotten word from the Buccaneers that Liam Cohen will be introduced to the media either today or tomorrow over at One Buck Place, the team facility. So stay tuned for that because whenever that happens, if it's tomorrow or if it's Wednesday, we will be having special coverage in our podcast about that with plenty of interview clips. So, you know, as soon as we find out, we'll let you know. But we will have a Liam Cohen press conference, Liam Cohen press conference reaction podcast. Tomorrow or on Wednesday. And then as it stands right now, whichever day he does not have the press conference, we will talk about how the Bucs offense will change under Liam Cohen. So those are probably the next two podcasts we're going to do. Lots to talk about with the new offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after interviewing 9 candidates. They got their guy. And the more I dig into this guy, the more I like him, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, like we talked about before, it was always going to be impossible to try to find that lightning in a bottle again, kind of like how they found with Dave Canales. But in a weird way, I'm not going to call it an upgrade by any means, but in a weird way, it's...
I think it could be.
It's almost like they're... It's like Canales paved the path, and now Cohen has a chance to just make the path even better because of experience calling plays at different levels with different quarterbacks, which is something Dave Canales didn't do. And then having an offense that is similar to Canales, but takes a little sprinkle of the no risk it, no biscuit of Bruce Arians. Not that he learned from Bruce Arians or comes from that coaching tree at all, but just little elements of what you like about a Sean McVay offense, a McDaniels offense, things of that nature, you'll see to a degree with Liam Cohen. So I'm excited to break that down over the next couple of weeks, but more specifically this week after talking to Liam Cohen, even before we see Liam Cohen, because I think there's a lot of things that Bucks fans will be able to gravitate to and grasp onto as well. And just to be bluntly honest, I'm more excited to just talk about a coaching candidate versus 9 different candidates.
Right.
How does this guy fit? Who's connected to this guy? And he checks all the boxes. Connection to Baker Mayfield. Baker sounds like he wants to be back with the Bucs, just judging off of his weekend at the Pro Bowl in Orlando. And so I think there should be a lot of excitement with the Bucs versus we're starting all over again, because it's not that's not exactly the case.
Right. And I think there are some similarities between what Canales did last year in Tampa, which, you know, Seattle's offense was not exactly the same as it was under Sean McVay out there in the Rams organization, even though offensive play caller Shane Waldron went from the Rams to the Seahawks, right? This is going to be a little bit more of Sean McVay, and that's kind of what he took to the University of Kentucky in two stops in 2021, where he coached up Will Levis, and then last year, 2023. So a lot of fans might be asking, well, why didn't he stay with the Rams after, you know, going to Kentucky for 1 year, after being an assistant in the passing game for a couple seasons? He goes to Kentucky for a year, then he comes back to the Rams. And then why didn't he stay with the Rams? Well, the answer is real simple. He wanted play calling duties. He got a taste of it during that 2022 season. Matter of fact, Sean McVay ceded play calling duty because the Rams were in a funk. They had the Super Bowl hangover. You had injuries to Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp, who were their two best players on offense. Probably the two best players on that entire team, not named Aaron Donald, right?
Yeah.
And he just wanted the opportunity to call plays. He got a taste of it. And as it coincides perfectly with Baker Mayfield, those play calling opportunities came in weeks 12 through 18 at the end of the season, including a 51-point outburst against the Denver Broncos, where Baker Mayfield had quite a day. So it just kind of whetted his appetite. He wanted to get back to play calling like he did at Kentucky. And he did that last year working with Dennis Leary, also working with Ray Davis, who is a running back that we saw at the Senior Bowl. Fantastic fit in what Tampa Bay wants to do, obviously, now with Liam Cohen here. But even if this was a Dave Canales offense, Ray Davis would be an awesome number two to that 1-2 punch with Rashad White. So, Matt, I think that's why you saw him really kind of jump at this opportunity, because now he has a chance to be a full-time play caller in the NFL, which is ultimately what he wanted. So 2 years worth of play calling experience at the collegiate level, just about half a season worth of play calling experience at the NFL level. And now you have a guy that walks into the building, Matt, with more play calling experience than Dave Canales. I think there's a chance this offense can start off on a hotter foot, hit the ground running. And conceptually, it's kind of the same thing that Canales wants to run in terms of establishing the run and using play action. There's some of those concepts there. It's not a carbon copy by any means.
Right.
It definitely has more Sean McVay influence than more of a Seattle approach. But there's a lot to like here.
And I think what's exciting for Liam Cohen as well is, yes, he did work under Sean McVay, offensive genius, guru, whatever you want to call it. But when you're under McVay, you know that that's the last stop. Unless McVay, there were rumors he was going to retire a season or two ago.
Yeah.
But unless McVay has a succession plan and says, you're my guy, Liam Cohen, you're going to be the next head coach, that's about it, because he's an offensive coordinator. So I wouldn't be surprised in the back of Liam Cohen's head if he's thinking, all right, I'm going to a defensive coach. If I do my job, regardless of what happens on the defensive side, I can either become the head coach of the Buccaneers eventually, or again, go the route of the Dave Canales of getting a head coaching job somewhere else. So I do think that is beneficial as well. I think what's really important too was the words from Baker Mayfield at the Pro Bowl, because Baker is very much, and he admits it himself, he's a guy that wears his heart on his sleeve, chip on his shoulder. Baker's going to say what he wants to say, especially in that situation at the Pro Bowl, where he's technically not tied to the Bucs anymore. Like, yes, he's got the little Bucs logo on the NFC jersey, but if he didn't really like Liam Cohen or wasn't a big fan, he wouldn't come out and say, like, yeah, I think he's an a-hole and I'm done with the Bucs. But he didn't have to go out of his way and say, he's a really smart guy, loved working with him. What he does with the offense, just by confusing the defense, I really enjoy, and et cetera, et cetera. You can read the article on PeterReport.com. Yeah. We have it all there. Baker didn't have to necessarily go out of his way and say all those things for a guy that might not even be his coach because he's not with the Buccaneers. But that's a great indicator that Baker could be back for the Buccaneers coming up this season. And we're going to talk a lot more about Liam Cohen on this episode and in the future as well. But did want to talk a little bit more about Baker Mayfield and Tristan Wirfs, because they had a heck of a weekend over at the Pro Bowl. You had the Pro Bowl games and everything like that, but the game itself on Sunday, shout out to Baker Mayfield. Excellent performance in the Pro Bowl. And that was interesting because they interviewed the coach, Eli Manning. They Eli'd the interview. And Eli said that Baker was going to close it out. He was going to come in the fourth quarter. And, you know, as a media person, I'm thinking, all right, this is juicy. Like, Baker can win the game or Baker may lose the game. And it's a little bit more of a storyline than, oh, Baker comes in the second quarter, does okay, and then that's about it. But no, Baker Mayfield ended up winning NFC offensive MVP for the Senior Bowl. The NFC beat the AFC by a score of 64-59. Now, Baker was in for three drives. The first one connected on a touchdown after a couple of passes, connected on a touchdown to his old Oklahoma teammate, C.D. Lamb. So that was nice to see that connection once again. Got the extra point to Amon-Ra St. Brown. The second drive, very Detroit Lions heavy. It only took three plays, too. First, it was a big catch and run by Sam Laporta. And remember, the fields are only 50 yards for this. So
yeah,
about a 40-yard catch and run by Sam Laporta got them down to the four. Then it was a pass to Puka Nacua, who a lot of people know. That got them down to the one. And then it was a little pass to Jahmyr Gibbs, sticking with the Lions theme, for a touchdown that made it 64-59. Now, the last drive, Baker did throw an interception, but it wasn't Baker's fault. It tipped off the hand of Amon-Ra St. Brown, and it was intercepted by Kyle Hamilton of the Ravens. It was very reminiscent of the interception against the Lions by C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Right? When it went off of Mike Evans' hands. But the comical thing in all of that was a couple plays before, it was a fourth down. They wanted to get the first down, so Baker scrambled. And the ref ended up, it was the first down and it counted, but the ref called a penalty on Baker for flag guarding. I guess you're not allowed to do that. The rules are all over the place in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And Baker goes, he's yelling, he goes, flag guarding? Are you effing kidding me? They bleeped him out, of course.
Yeah.
But just the typical competitor that Baker Mayfield is, a very comical moment. So awesome for Baker Mayfield. Won multiple accolades this season, various awards, and gets the cherry on top with winning the NFC offensive MVP. Also want to give a shout out to Tristan Wirfs, because the linemen aren't as involved in the game, but what they do for the Pro Bowl, if you're new to this year's Pro Bowl, they're doing different things where, yes, the flag football game itself is the majority of the points, but you can get points in different ways. There's like a Madden tournament, there's a obstacle course, and they have this one event between the first and second quarter. It was called Push the Wall or something like that. And essentially, you got this giant wall, AFC, NFC, mostly linemen in it. And first, you have to get 3,000 pounds of weight off of this wall. So each player is at a rung, and you got to rip it off. Tristan Wirfs was the first lineman, offense, defense, AFC, NFC, to rip all of the weights off to get on the other side to start pushing this wall across the finish line. Now, it is a team game, so everyone else had to finish as well. But Tristan Wirfs absolutely dominated that performance. He was big with the obstacle course at the end, where him and Penei Sewell were pushing Jason Kelce across the finish line to win the obstacle course. So even though the linemen can't do as much in these Pro Bowl events, Tristan Wirfs was representing the Bucs greatly over the weekend. So want to give a shout out to both of them, because I get it, the Pro Bowl isn't what it once was.
Yeah.
But you know, if there's anything big with the Bucs that are related, we want to make sure all the Pewter people know. So if you have to watch the Pro Bowl, just watch the video clip that we have on PewterReport.com and our reaction to Baker winning the MVP, because it was an exciting event for if you're a Bucs fan, you definitely got your money's worth.
Well, and, you know, with him winning the precision passing event over C.J. Stroud the previous night, or Thursday night is what it was, and then winning the MVP, boy, does that mean Baker Mayfield's stock is going up? Is the price tag going up?
Yeah. You know?
I mean, listen, it's going to be interesting to see. The one thing I liked about this, we just showed that picture of Tristan Wirfs and Baker Mayfield together. These guys are close as it is, right? They're both team captains. They're both actually going to be fathers this spring as well. Tristan's going to get married, right? And Baker already is married, but they're both expecting – their first child, which is awesome. And it's happening this offseason, which is a great time to, if you're a football player,
Tristan's to have a child. Baby is due, I believe, in mid-March. So, I mean, it we're is, talking about yeah. a month from now.
That's right. That's right. And so for these guys to get together, drink some beer, that reinforced that team chemistry and camaraderie, you just have to think that every little bit helps when it comes to free agency. Now, I think the Buccaneers have a tremendous home field advantage. They were the team that really kind of gave Baker this opportunity to catapult himself into position to make a heck of a lot more money than he made last year when it was $4 million in the base deal. Mm-hmm. And he's earned about $3 million in terms of incentive bonuses. And let's not forget, Baker Mayfield also, if you heard those reports, it lost $12 million in like an investment scheme. And there's some litigation going on about that. But, you know, possession, right? It's what's the saying? 9/10 of the law, right? And so Baker Mayfield doesn't have the money. He's trying to get the money back. And certainly wishing him well in that opportunity. $12 million is
that's a lot of money. For
that's a lot of money. You don't want to lose that money. And so hopefully he can get that back. But there, maybe there's a chance that he doesn't. So he's got to make up for a little bit of lost time here. Your window of earnings is only open so long in the NFL. He'll be 29 in April. And sure, he might be able to play till his mid-30s. But okay, fine. That's maybe 5-6 more years, right, mm-hmm. of him being a starting caliber quarterback. And you know, and nothing is a given. Nothing is guaranteed. Just ask Ryan Jensen, who retired over the weekend,
yes,
right?
He
and he's still under contract with Tampa Bay. They just re-signed him to a multi-year deal in 2022, and he played one game, right? That playoff game where he wasn't even close to being healthy.
Right.
So, having said all that, with Baker Mayfield. Yes, having those relationships with guys like Mike Evans and Tristan Wirfs, it's important. Having that relationship with Todd Bowles, with Jason Light is important. It's going to go a long way. And I even think that this little bit of success he had at the Pro Bowl, wearing Buccaneer flags, right? It helps. Everything, every little bit helps. At the end of the day, though, free agency is what it is. It's a business.
Yeah.
It comes down to the dollars and cents. But getting a Liam Cohen, having a Tristan Wirfs there, to kind of talk about the future, right? And you know, it's because when you switch teams, you know, you're leaving friends behind, whether you're cut and it's out of your hands or whether you're voluntarily leaving because free agency is a two-way street. Every little bit helps. And I think the Buccaneers have done everything they can outside of, you know, meeting Baker Mayfield wherever his price point is. And that's going to be decided in March. They'll probably start some negotiations at the NFL scouting combine where the whole Peter Report staff will be at the end of this month. And we'll see where it goes from there. But so far so good in terms of possibly retaining Baker Mayfield and answering who the quarterback question of this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team is going to be in 2024.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point of just having the chemistry and really friendship with a lot of the guys that you mentioned. Because, yes, like financials are very, very important. But I think at the end of the day, whether you're an NFL player or whatever job you're in, sometimes you just want a peace of mind. And having a peace of mind with, all right, I know Mike, I know Chris Godwin, Tristan Wirfs is my guy. Like, that's really important that maybe you can't even put a monetary value on. Like, I'm lucky I get along with everybody that we work with at Pewter Report, except for Josh Capo. I hate Josh Capo's guts, but he lives in Atlanta, so I don't even have to see him that much. I'm just kidding. I love Josh Capo. Yeah. I love doing the game.
We love the kid, Josh Capo, for sure.
Yes, we love the busted chops, for sure. But
there's also one other thing we love, too, Matt, and it is a Monday, and it is 420. It's this little thing called...
Roll call. That's right. We love doing this every single Monday at 4:20. And we're on time for this one, which sometimes we like to be fashionably late, but that's all right because it just means we're in a heavy conversation with the Buccaneers or about the Buccaneers. But anyway, if you're new to the show, we do this every Monday at 4:20. It's called Roll Call. What we do is one of us starts going on a diatribe about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we love interacting with their fans as much as possible. So while for this show, when Scott is talking about the Buccaneers, if you want to start putting the location of where you are watching the show from, we will put it up on the screen because we have awesome fans, not just in Tampa, not just in the U.S., but around the world. And we love giving shout outs to everybody as well. So without further ado, Scott, have at it. And I will start putting names up on the screen.
You got it. So here's one thing that I really like about Liam Cohen. When I've kind of spent some time today and a little bit this weekend diving into him, I saw a coaching clinic video that was outstanding that Josh Capo turned me on to. And it's a tremendous coaching clinic video that really kind of describes what's important to Liam Cohen. And this was when he was at the University of Kentucky. And of course, those principles and those important areas of emphasis aren't going to change because that's your core values as a play caller. So here's a couple of things that I was able to kind of ascertain that I'm happy to share with you guys. When it comes to his philosophy, it's players over plays.
Yep.
And this might come as music to some people's ears that were a little angry sometimes because Mike Evans didn't get a target in the first half or Chris Godwin was ignored, things like that. The play sheet for Liam Cohen, and he breaks it down in this video, it actually has a spot on the play sheet for playmakers. And he actually keeps a count of how many times his playmakers get the ball. And let's say at the University of Kentucky in 2021, it was Wandale Robinson. That was the big playmaker, wide receiver for Will Levis, right? He was the number one guy. They had a number two, but it was basically, I need to get Wandale Robinson 10 plays a game. And the interesting thing about his concept is sometimes, despite the down and distance, he will want to get the ball in the playmaker's hands more so than the play call. So there are times where you might have seen Dave Canales dial up, a play, and let's say it's a pass play to, Trey Palmer, right? On third and 10. And you're thinking, why in the world would they throw the ball to Trey Palmer? Why don't they go to Mike or Chris? And this is more of Liam Cohen's wheelhouse. He wants to get his playmakers the ball. He wants to get his guys those pass opportunities and get the ball in their hands. And that's just who he is as a play caller. So it's not so much, hey, we need a play to cover this much ground. It's let's get the ball into Mike's hands. Let's get the ball into Chris's hands. Let's get the ball into Rashad White's hands. And he has his play sheet broken down into several different categories, not just red zone, but what he calls strike zone, which is the 30 to the 20. That's more of where he's going to take a shot. You're getting close to the end zone. You're not quite in the red zone, but that's kind of the cusp of where teams will play more of their base defense. Usually you see them switch things up when they get into the red zone area. That's where they go from playing base, and then they'll start doing some different things with their red zone packages on defense where they will either drop, eight into coverage and rush three to give a quarterback kind of a complex look and really cover up those receivers. Or as you get closer to the red zone and there's a more of a truncated area to work with, that's where you see defenses a lot of times will go man coverage or they'll go cover zero, right? And they'll bring all out pressure to try to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly. And so those are just some of the things, and we'll talk about more of these things throughout the week. But I just thought that was interesting. If you're interested in how many plays does he script to start the game, he starts it with 10. He's got everything on his play sheet from what they call Derby. Derby is their hurry up offense, and then he spends an awful lot of time in practice on red zone and third downs. At Kentucky back in 2021. The Wildcats were actually converted every single third and one that season. And they were fifth in the nation.
Would love to hear that. Not the Cubs fans would love to hear that.
Yeah, and they were fifth in the nation on third down conversions with Will Levis at quarterback back in 2021. The video was shot before the start of this season, so it didn't encompass anything in the 2023 season. But again, conceptually, this is who he is as a play caller. These are his core beliefs. But the other thing is he has a different set of plays for fourth and one than he does for third and one. And also he breaks down fourth down into fourth and one, fourth and two and three, fourth and four to six, fourth and seven to 10, and fourth and 11 plus. And he's got different plays for those that he would call rather than third down, because he said, and it's true.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Those fourth downs are more important than the third downs, because on fourth down, if you don't convert it, it's a turnover, right?
Right.
Turnover on downs. If you don't get a play to go the distance on third down, then you have the option to either punt or go for it on fourth down. But fourth down is actually more important than third down. So they do have a specific play sheet just for those fourth down instances. So you're not going to see him call a play that he ran earlier in the game on third and two on fourth and one or fourth and two. It's going to be a separate set of plays. It's going to give a sense of unpredictability and give a new look, a new play to the defense staff to really worry about. The other thing that I really thought was interesting was they actually have on their play sheet self-scouting tendency areas, run and pass percentages based on down and distance. So, for example, on his play sheet, he'll have, let's say it's second and seven. He'll look down and say, on second and seven, we historically this season have been 60% pass, 40% run. And so he may want to, that's a quick little reminder to maybe break some tendencies, right? Yeah. Maybe do a draw and see if you can pick up a chunk, or maybe a 5 yard gain on a draw on second and seven out of a pass set would pick up 5 yards. Now you're in third and two, which is much more manageable. So a lot of really good stuff about Liam Cohen. He does use motion,
but not so
much with receivers. He uses it with backs coming out of the backfield, and that's the tell for zone or man. And we saw some of that with Dave Canales as well. He would split Rashad White out.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's zone, then you go ahead and leave him out there. If it's zone, you bring him back. If it's man, you leave him out there. He likes to have light boxes for his offensive line to have to protect against. So a lot of times you'll see a 3-by-1, which is three receivers to one side in a bunch formation or a stack formation with one tight end out wide. You see that a lot with the Rams with Tyler Higbee, right? With Gerald, forget his name.
Everett?
Gerald Young. Gerald Everett. Yeah, thank you. That's a typical formation look that Sean McVay has, where you have your receivers bunched to one side. You've got that tight end down there. So if you want to match up in zone, guess what? Now you have a corner on a tight end. That should be a size mismatch right there. If you are rolling your corner over to cover bunch or cover that stack look, then you have a linebacker outside with that tight end, or you're walking a safety down, right? And you still have an opportunity there if you have an athletic tight end to really get a mismatch. But it's a great way for his players to understand what the indicators are. He wants to give his players indicators for success pre-snap. And there's a lot to like about this guy.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. That's one of the best things about football is just the matchups and how does this D-line go up against this O-line and so on and so forth. And yeah, one of the biggest takeaways from Liam Cohen is that he is extremely detail-oriented. And sure, there are times where you can over-prepare and you have so many things. But I would also counter that with, I'd rather have an offensive coordinator or just a team in general that is over-prepared rather than under-prepared. And one of the things when I was reading up about Liam Cohen that I found so fascinating is when he interviewed for the Kentucky job for their offensive coordinator. He was obviously talking with Mark Stoops, who is the head coach, and he gave a detailed plan of schedules and responsibilities, as well as a video compilation of 300 offensive plays that he thought he'd be able to implement from his time with the Rams and bring it over to the Kentucky Wildcats. So we're talking about extreme detail just for an interview. And to go back to Josh's article, which was fantastic, another thing that Cohen's going to bring, and Dave Canales had this too, so you'll just see more of it with Cohen, is making simple plays and simple routes look complex, but they are simple at the end of the day. And the example that Josh used was the touchdown by Rashad White against the Green Bay Packers, where it was essentially four verts. It was all just go down the field. But the way that they motioned Rashad White and got him off the line of scrimmage and off of being right next to the quarterback and moving down the field, it's a simple play, but it had more of a complex look and ended up in a touchdown. I think you'll see that with Liam Cohen. And also the use of play action. Like Will Levis was great with it in the top 20. Kentucky last year, I believe, was in the top third. And even Baker, when he was with Liam Cohen, I believe was eighth in the league. Now, granted, it was a much smaller sample size because Baker was only there for the end of the season. But play action is something that Bucs fans have really wanted for quite a long time. And I think they're going to get it with Liam Cohen. Something that I really want right now is a Celsius energy drink, more specifically the Celsius Essentials, the newest line of Celsius that this great product has out there.
Good.
The Celsius Essentials has a lot of great flavors, whether it's the Blue Crush, you got the Dragon Berry, the Orange was great. You saw us having that over at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. It's got 275 milligrams of caffeine. It's a bigger can, bigger and better with the Celsius Essentials. No sugar in these drinks. So if you need to know where to find a Celsius Essentials, you can locate them at a 7-Eleven, all 7-Elevens nationwide. You can get the variety pack, a 3-can variety pack over at Walmart, and they are coming to Amazon sooner rather than later. So if you need to know where to find a Celsius energy drink, could be the Celsius Essentials, could be an original Celsius, whether it's sparkling orange, the Arctic Vibe, Fuji apple pear, sparkling lemon lime. Go to the Celsius store locator on your website, punch in your address. It'll tell you the closest location where you could pick a Celsius up. It might be a Target, could be a health and fitness store. It might just even be your bodega.
Bodega.
And once you keep going to your bodega and picking up Celsius and you want more, you can get it in bulk. I'd recommend getting that variety pack because variety is the spice of life. Go to Amazon, click on the subscribe and save. Have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. You're in charge. It's up to you. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. We have a couple of super chats to get to, Scott. Also want to give a quick shout out to everyone that did roll call. Another fantastic turnout. Can't thank you guys enough. And it's awesome learning where you guys are watching from. So starting with Jeff the Champ from New Bern, North Carolina. Chase Keenan from Indy will be there at the end of the month for the combine. Very much looking forward to that. Randy Wazinski from Schenectady, New York. I believe I pronounced that right. Joe Sandillo from Brooksville, Florida. Corey Jones out of Centerville, Ohio. Thomas Pelikoudis from Fort Myers, Florida. Drizzy Howell, I like the little owl next to you as well. Yeah. Oh, there's probably a Drake shout out. Is that Drake in the picture? I can't tell. It looks like Triple H. But Drake was in Tampa the last two nights. So that was cool. Tristan Wirfs was actually at it. And Antoine Field Jr. But anyway, from Kannapolis, North Carolina.
Yep.
Catherine Labata from Dunedin. And then right in the backyard of Scott's, UK Prince in Wesley Chapel, Florida. So thanks again, guys, for all of the turnout for roll call today. Let's get over to the Super Chats, starting with Mark Fisher, a.k.a. Rev Fish, thanks for the $4.99 Super Chat, who says, with an offensive coach hired, don't we need to get Mike right after Wirfs and Winfield? Would Mayfield want to return without him and Godwin as number one wide receiver?
Yeah, that's a good question, right? Because of maybe the domino effect, right? I mean, at the same time, if Baker Mayfield gets paid by the Buccaneers, you know, he'll trust Jason Light to find him some receivers. Now, if they could get Mike Evans under contract before that, that would certainly even better the chances of Baker Mayfield, because he knows then that Baker Mayfield would be coming back to a situation where Liam Cohen's the offensive coordinator and Mike Evans is under contract. So there is a little bit of maybe of some dominoes that need to fall. At the same time, though, Baker and Mike can talk, right? And Mike can fill Baker in on what he's thinking and vice versa. And that might help their situations together. And I think Jason Light is very transparent. He will let both of these players know, hey, we're going to let you test free agency. We're going to let you go find your number. And then all we ask is that you bring it back to us and give us the opportunity to match it, to talk about it, to do the, okay, well, you know, Mike, you've got $27 million offered from the Chicago Bears, but the state income tax in Chicago is going to make that $27 million seem like the $25 million that we're giving you, because the $2 million that you're going to be making is going to go right to the state of Illinois, and those taxes that you're not going to have down here in the state of Florida where there's no state income tax. So it's a little bit of that too. That's where Mike Greenberg comes in, and he presents the, okay, well, you got an offer from that particular team in that state, but without state income tax in Florida, this is what that offer is. And that's why, even though we're maybe $2-3 million less per year, it's the same. It's apples for apples. Or, you know what? You want to go there and make another $1 million? You're actually going to lose money because you're going to be paying more in taxes up there than you would returning the Buccaneers. So I'm not overly concerned about this. I think that with the relationship that Jason has with both Baker and Mike, that they will allow these guys, if they're not going to say give them a pre-agency contract offer. Now, they're going to have some discussions. They're going to want to find out what your number is, right? And with Baker Mayfield, you know, I wrote about this today, and I put it in the Peter Report chat here in the Bucks mailbag. You know, if I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm not looking at the Geno Smith three-year $75 million deal, which is $25 million per. I'm looking at Daniel Jones saying, hey, that guy's worth $40 million a year. Actually, he's not worth it, but that's what he's making. Yeah. I'm better than he is. Deshaun Watson, you know, I'm better than Deshaun Watson, statistically speaking, since, you know, his last year in Houston, the year and a half that he had in Cleveland, he's actually been kind of terrible. So he's making $46 million. You know, Ryan Tannehill was making just under 30. I'm better than Ryan Tannehill. So I think that number is going to be $30 million or north thereof for Baker Mayfield, because if I'm him, I'm looking at some of these other quarterbacks that are making more money than I am and saying, I had a better season than you, and I've got a better pedigree than you in terms of coming in as a first overall pick. And quite frankly, I'm worth more. So it might cost the Buccaneers more than maybe they're thinking right now. But again, we'll see how many suitors there are, right, Matt? Because if Atlanta's in the mix, if Denver's in the mix, right, with Sean Payton, if Minnesota's in the mix, if they want to move on from Kirk Cousins, you know, the number of teams vying for Baker Mayfield in free agency, which could be just one, Tampa Bay, or multiple, that's going to have an effect on that number too.
Yeah, so I do have a question for you on that in just a moment, but I'll give my point first. So to answer the first part of it, I do think there is a world where even if Mike Evans leaves, that Baker Mayfield still comes back. Now, the only thing that would change is how we're looking at edge rushers and, you know, JPJ in the first round at center. Yeah. I think that completely shifts gears and it goes to, oh, damn, we need a wide receiver to complement with Chris Godwin as wide receiver one. But I do trust that the Bucs would figure it out one way or another with Baker at quarterback and finding new weapons around him. What would concern me about Mike not coming back is not necessarily that the Bucs will be able to pony up the money unless a team gives too much money.
Right.
I am just curious about the suitors for Mike Evans that may overpay for Mike. Obviously, the big one is the Houston Texans. I'm not exactly sure about their financial situation, but Mike loves being in Texas. He loves his home state. And even though he's coming off of a rookie season, the opportunity to play with CJ Stroud, I think, is very, very high and mighty. I mean, he is a thrilling, thrilling quarterback to watch, and it would be interesting to see if the Texans say, hey, we want one more piece, because they got pretty good wide receivers already, but we want to bring in a big guy in Mike Evans, if that could do something. The Jets, I wouldn't even rule out. If they can't get Devontae Adams, I wouldn't rule out the Jets trying to throw money at Mike Evans. And again, the opportunity to play with Aaron Rodgers after Mike had previously played with Tom Brady, I think that could be appealing to Mike. And at the end of the day, Mike still wants to win, though he does have his heart in Tampa as well. So those would be a couple of teams I'd be worried about Mike potentially leaving for. Now, the last part with Baker, we've talked before, and you even mentioned the suitors of Atlanta or Minnesota or things of that nature. And it's a good thing for the Bucks that Kirk Cousins is still in the mix, because that at least takes one other team out of it, where hopefully they'll go after Kirk and not Baker Mayfield. But you mentioned $30 million per year, and because he's played so well and things of that nature, it's going to bump up to that, and his agent's going to play the game of Daniel Jones and everything. Right. And you're spot on with that. My question for you, Scott, is if you're the Bucks and you're going to give him $30 million a year, would you sign up for the season that Baker just had and say we're okay with $30 million of Baker Mayfield for that type of season?
Yeah, but then at the same time, I wonder, is this the ceiling? Because I kind of think this is the ceiling for Baker, right? I think that 4,000 yards, 28, okay, fine, give him 30, right? Because there was a couple of those Mike Evans touchdowns where he got tackled the 1 yard line. So say 30, 32 touchdowns, right? Somewhere between 10 to 13 interceptions, right? And 4,000 yards. That seems like where his ceiling is, because he's not that prolific passer. Now, he did have a couple of fantastic games. The Eagles game comes to mind, certainly the Packers game, right? So he can do it. But mixed in there, you had some of those inconsistent games as well. Back-to-back games with the Panthers and 49ers. I'm sorry, the Falcons, where he completed 48% of his passes, right? So you're paying for that that season, Matt. But I think the thing that concerns me, and probably Tampa Bay as well, is that the type of season that you're going to get for three straight years, which would actually be four straight years, because if you're signed to a three-year extension, can you expect that in each one of those years and no regression? And boy,
that's the scary part.
That's the scary part. It really is, because with the Tom Brady, right, like you look at his career, and there's certain years where he had maybe 500 or 600 yards less because he didn't have a Randy Moss or he didn't have Gronk or whatever, but you pretty much knew what you were going to get with Tom Brady, right? You know what you're going to get with Patrick Mahomes, right, in that Andy Reid offense. But with Baker Mayfield, it's a one-year kind of deal, just like with Shaq Barrett. He got the 19.5 sacks.
Yep.
He was able to get 10 again one season, but he didn't even come close to that number in any of the other seasons. I think he had, what, eight or 8.5?
He had 10. Yeah, he had 10 the second time that he made the Pro Bowl.
Right, exactly. 8 and then 10.5, or 10, and then
the Achilles injury,
The Achilles injury, I think he had 3, and then 4.5 last year, right? So it's so hard once you hit that ceiling to sustain it. That's for the elite players, not the good players, not even the great players. The elite players can do that. And time will tell. So it's a little bit of a scary proposition. I would only guarantee 2 years out of a three-year deal just to give yourself an out, just in case. Plus, too, Baker's not the biggest guy, and he's going to get banged up. And
he was banged up last year. He played every game, and credit to him. But he has a history of missing games because of injury. Right.
And he didn't miss any last year. But
exactly.
You can't.
He's a tough guy. I'm not faulting him for getting injured and missing games, because it happens to everyone, really. But again, we've seen Baker not play at 100%, and it doesn't look good. You know, 9-0 win over the Panthers. But I think it's a really intriguing question, because if it was $20 million a year, I feel comfortable being like, okay, I can sign up for that for two seasons, maybe even a third season. But for whatever reason, the extra $10 million, I think, makes a really big deal. But we'll continue to have this conversation as it goes along. Thanks to Richie P for this $20 super chat, who says, considering how much is at risk, parentheses, inking Evans, Baker, new offensive coordinator developing run game, if Jackson Powers Johnson is there in the first, do you take him? I just don't see a defensive end dropping to us at 26. He also follows it up with, sorry for the draft question. I blame PR for my draft sickness, LMAO. Richie, no apology needed. You super chat us. We will talk about anything. So thank you for the super chat.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge fan of Jackson Powers Johnson. I think we all are, from the Peter Report staff, after just seeing him for like barely two practices, really. It was a practice and a half, because he suffered a hamstring injury really on day one, and then kind of fought through it.
Yeah, and paddled through it.
But I mean, he's a tremendous talent. I think that he is a player that will probably get drafted ahead of number 26, just based upon how well he performed. And he has all of the intangibles you're looking for in terms of the toughness. We call him Ryan Jensen 2.0. Mm-hmm. It's really what he is. We talked to him at the Senior Bowl. He likes to model himself after Ryan Jensen. He's a bigger dude, 6'3", where Jensen's about 6'4" and some change. So he's about an inch shorter, but still about 325 pounds, 330 pounds. Very tough, ruffian guy, really good personality. And I would take him at number 26 if he's there. I would even trade up a few spots to get him, possibly, if it wouldn't cost you an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
The Bucks right now don't have a fifth round pick. So, you know, you don't want to trade that fourth because that's a real valuable spot. So maybe maybe you trade up a little bit and you get a fifth round pick, and then you can package a five and a six and go up and get a fourth. You know, Jason Light can do some maneuvering. But yeah, overall, I'm in favor of it because he answers the question at safety. And even if you do sign a safety, you can play him a guard because he did play a full season at guard at Oregon, and he's just a ruffian, man. I love the guy.
Yeah, I look at this in a couple of ways, because if you're just taking a face value, like who do you want with your first round pick, a center or an edge rusher, the answer is edge rusher. However, in today's day and age, and I get it, Todd Bowles is a defensive coach, yeah, I almost think it's more of an advantage in today's NFL to solidify your offense and then figure everything else out on defense.
Especially if you're paying your quarterback $30 million or more, right?
Yeah,
you
got to
protect Baker Mayfield at all costs.
So let's go with the assumption that Baker's back, Mike Evans is back. The last thing really holding you back is maybe another receiving tight end or just shore up the tight end. But then that interior offensive line, I think, is the big one. So if the question is, Powers Johnson against any edge rusher, I think you go Powers Johnson. Now, if it's someone that you love, like Robinson, who we talked about with Missouri, who was a beast at the Senior
Darius
Bowl.
Robinson.
Yeah, Darius Robinson. That becomes something a little bit different. But I'm kind of leaning towards just solidifying your offensive line, because then you have Tristan Wirfs hopefully under an extension, Getteke in his third year, Mauk in his second year, and then a stud rookie center. So really all you're figuring out is who's going to be your left guard. I really like the outlook of that offense versus an edge rusher that maybe he pans out, maybe he doesn't, maybe needs a little more seasoning. And I think Todd Bowles can better equip his defense, even if you don't have that stout edge rusher, than an offense that just gets bullied on the interior offensive line.
Well, they like Anthony Nelson, right? And he's still under contract. Pierre-Paul is long gone, and they missed that kind of alpha. And they were hoping that Joe Tryon-Shuinka could be that guy to replace Jason Pierre-Paul. That's why they drafted him in the first round when JPP was on the team. He's just not that guy. He's not that alpha. He's not that player, right? But he is under contract. We expect he's not going to get the fifth-year option picked up, so this will, in a sense, be his contract year. And, you know, at the very least, he's got 4 years' worth of experience, or this will be his fourth season worth of experience in Todd Bowles' scheme. So at least he knows it. You hope he gets better as a result of it. And they did find Yaya Diaby in the third round. So even though you're not addressing it in the first round, they were able to find a pass rusher in later rounds. There are some other guys, Austin Booker from KU, Marshawn Nealand from Western Michigan. You know, there's Gabriel and Grayson Murphy from UCLA, the twin brothers. So it's not a super talented edge class, but at the same time, if you're going to pass on the likes of Braylon Trice from Washington, Chop Robinson, Chris Braswell, and get that offensive lineman to secure that offensive line and get some protection for Baker Mayfield, then you can look in second, third rounds and possibly address edge rusher.
Thanks to Mike Wells for this $20 super chat.
Thank you, Mike.
Awesome show, Matt and Scott, as always. Thank you for the kind words, Mike. Do you guys see Liam Cohen be a bit more aggressive than Canales was? Because Canales just seemed complacent at times, and also Powers Johnson is really growing on me at 26. Well, we kind of already talked about Jackson Powers Johnson, and we're all big fans of him. I think that's been well established right now.
I think the thing with Cohen that you're going to see is you're going to see him probably do – be more active in the pass game. Not that the Buccaneers will go back to being pass first, pass heavy, like they were with Byron Leftwich. But I think you're going to see maybe some more creative runs, right? If you look at how Kyren Williams was used and the yardage he picked up as a 1,000-yard back, he was at the Pro Bowl this year as a Rams running back. And in this, despite having Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua and, you know, Matthew Stafford, right, Matt? So they can run the ball too. And I think you're going to see maybe some more creative ways to get the running game going. I've always been a huge proponent of running into a light box, right? Running into, you know, with the spread personnel, and you'll see a lot of 3-by-1 concept, right? So that's away from the formation. A lot of times they will flex the tight end out almost as a receiver, kick him out wide. And that is one of their base staple formations. They ran it at Kentucky. That's a Sean McVay principle, the 3-by-1 formation. And when you do that, it does a couple things. It forces you into either nickel or dime, right? So you're already in a pass defense rather than getting some of your runs stuffing linebackers out there. So I think a lot of teams now play nickel. If you look at Todd Bowles, he's rarely in a traditional 3-4. Yeah, exactly. So he's rarely in that traditional 3-4 unless you're going up against 13 personnel or 12 where you got two tight ends or three tight ends. But that's one of the things that they like to do. Now they will do some 12 personnel looks as well, right? Every team has that. Even the Rams do that, and they've got a little bit of 13 as well. But that 3-by-1 split, you can still run out of it. It's a lighter box, and it forces defenses to automatically be in those nickel or dime packages. And so I think that they're going to be more aggressive in the run game and probably more successful with it. I think they're also going to be more aggressive in the passing game. You're going to see them work the middle of the field a lot more than just the outsides, where Canales like to take those shots down the sidelines. Yep. It's not going to be Bruce Arians, but Bruce Arians like to attack the deep vertical middle. And I think you're going to see more digs, more skinny posts, more post patterns coming across the formation at a bunch and attacking the middle of the field.
With the question being, will Cohen be a bit more aggressive? I think what's going to happen, and aggressiveness comes into this, is what were some of the knocks on Dave Canales? One of them was his inability, but his refusal to kind of adjust in game when it was needed or when the Bucs went down. I think that game against the Saints was a really big indicator of like, hey, you're not getting it done running the football. You got to start throwing it more.
Yeah.
You're down 17. And he just didn't. Now, if you're throwing the ball way more constantly because you're down 17, naturally you're going to be more aggressive because of it. And, of course, the Bucs don't want to be down 17 points in a lot of games. That's not what the fans want to see. But also, even when they were winning at times, Canales still just ran it up the middle, occasionally would run it to the outside. But it was a little too few and far between, even for my liking. And I understand you want that element of surprise. You want to keep the defense off guard. But I also do think that there is something to be said about, you know, what Vince Lombardi said back in the day. Like, we're going to run it until you stop it. And if you're running it to the outside and it's working, I don't understand why they should necessarily shy away from that. So in this case, with Cohen, if they're running it up the middle with Rashad White or whoever's in the game and it's not working, I don't think it's going to take as long for Liam Cohen to go in there and say, all right, let's do a sweep to the outside. Let's do a pitch. We got an advantage with Tristan Wirfs over on the end. Let's just keep doing it because this is where we're beating them. And I think that's where the history of being a play caller beforehand is really going to help the Buccaneers and Liam Cohen in his new job.
Yeah, and I think you're right. When you look at Liam Cohen, this is a guy that has 2 years of actual play calling experience at the FBS level. He's called plays before and the FCS level, but he also has about a third of a season worth of play calling experience with the Rams. And I think that's going to give him a little bit of a leg up as an experienced play caller that Dave Canales didn't have. And if you want the leg up when it comes to real estate, well, real simple, give Eric Gross a call. Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group, the official realtors of Pewter Report. It takes a full team effort to win a football game. And it's the same way in real estate. The Eric Gross Group has done hundreds of transactions. This crazy real estate market, they've got the experience for all types of situations. Spring is coming, right? We saw Punxsutawney Phil said that we're going to have a shorter winter. That means good news. That means the home market should be revving up. Now is the perfect time to get your house in order, whether you're buying or selling, and give Eric a call. You can also check out his website, housesinfla.com. That's housesinfla.com. You can find him on Facebook and Instagram at Eric Gross Group. Check out their listings, their inventory, their open house schedule. It's a great website. Make sure you check out Houses in FLA or give Eric a call at 513-907-4271. He's a Tampa native. He knows this area like the back of his hand. But whether you're moving into the state of Florida or out of the state or around the state, Eric can help you on either end of that transaction, buying and selling. So no matter where you are in your homeownership journey, you're going to feel welcome at the Eric Gross Group, the official realtor of Peter Report. Again, visit housesinfla.com.
Got a couple more super chats to get to, starting off with Adam Hamilton. Thank you, Adam, for this $4.99 super chat, who says, I really don't feel comfortable with Baker long term, y'all. I love the way he plays the game, but come on, most of us were unhappy with the offenses, with the offense all year. Adam, you're right to have a little bit of concern for sure. And I think there's a lot of lovable traits about Baker Mayfield. And part of me as well wants to see if Baker can prove it again. Now, the problem is, I mean, you could franchise tag him, but it's really expensive for a quarterback. The problem is, if he meets expectations, exceeds them, then you're stuck paying him even more. Or then you get into a bidding war, because at that point, if Baker has another season like he did, there's going to be way more teams looking for, hey, wow, there's a starting quarterback that's available and we can bring him in. So that's one side of the risk. The benefit is, oh, all right, you have him under contract. He's ours. And he's still playing that way.
Yeah.
The other risk of that is, okay, he is under our contract. Now he's regressing and not playing well. Now you're stuck with him and the financials of that. So that's certainly the concern with Baker. And I think everyone's going to have a little bit of that worry, but I don't know. There's not really a proper way to do it.
I agree. Well, the interesting thing is we heard from Baker Mayfield about Liam Cohen at the Pro Bowl. Our own Adam Slavon was out there getting that video for us and getting those quotes and doing a story. Well, we're going to have the opportunity tomorrow to ask Liam Cohen about Baker Mayfield. That's right. The Buccaneers just announced that there will be a press conference with Liam Cohen at the team facility tomorrow at noon. Myself and Matt will be there covering that. And, of course, that will be the topic of tomorrow's podcast at 4 o'clock. We will have the Liam Cohen press conference reaction right here at 4 o'clock on Peter Report TV, which is our YouTube channel. So make sure that you tuned in for that. And I'm excited to hear what he has to say about the personnel and about working possibly with Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans. Getting those players back under contract will be key. And what he has to say about Chris Godwin and Kate Otten and his offensive line, Rashad White, and should be a fascinating conversation. This guy is not going to be Dave Canales in terms of
don't expect that
at the podium. Yeah. He's not going to win the press conference as much as Dave did. That's fine. Dave's a head coach because of that, because of his communication skills. But it's always about substance over style, and I think this guy's got plenty of substance, and we're looking forward to hearing from Liam Cohen. So make sure you join us tomorrow at 4 o'clock for that.
Yeah, going to be a really fun show. I'm just excited to see his like overall philosophies as an offensive coordinator, which will be cool. Shout out to Shaggy. Thanks for this $10 super chat, who asks, remaining coaching vacancies for Bucs/candidates? Yeah, so they actually interviewed a couple of special teams coordinator candidates today.
Story that Matt did in the chat here, but go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, one was Thomas McGahey, who was the Giants special teams coordinator. He's had two stints with the Giants. He was actually on their staff when they beat Tom Brady and the undefeated Patriots in that Super Bowl way back when. Yeah. He's got a long coaching history. The other one was Craig Aukerman, who was the Titans special teams coordinator. He got let go in December after there was a game the Titans allowed two blocked punts, but he has a litany of coaching experience as well. Yeah. And then as we joined the show, it was reported that Keith Tandy, former Buccaneer, who's been on the coaching staff as an assistant, interviewed for the special teams coordinator job. So a little in-house candidate for you as well. Bucks will also have to find out what they want to do with the offensive line coach and wide receivers coach. So
I'd love Eric Wolford. As you mentioned, he's the Kentucky offensive line coach, was with the 49ers a couple of years. I went to school with him, actually. He was a Kansas State guy in the early 90s when I was there. He was a guard for Bill Snyder's Wildcats, so I actually know Eric. So be cool to reunite with them, but we'll see what they pick and choose. Gary, we really appreciate this comment. 318 people in the chat. We should have 318 likes. The more likes you give us, the more that helps us with our algorithms. And the more comments you make about the podcast and the more thumbs up you give us, the more that helps us with the YouTube algorithm, gets us in front of more awesome pewter people like yourself.
Yes, it does. We'd also like if you checked out Underdog Fantasy using the promo code pewter, that's P-E-W-T-E-R, get a first deposit bonus when you sign up with Underdog Fantasy. You could play it with football, Super Bowl coming up this Sunday, or any of the other big sports. Pick anywhere from 2 to 5 players on a number of different stats, higher or lower, on yards, touchdowns, tackles, points, if it's basketball or whatever it may be. Win up to 20 times your money over with Underdog Fantasy. So use the promo code pewter, P-E-W-T-E-R, and download the app of Underdog Fantasy. And also, don't forget, we're talking to Liam Cohen tomorrow, so we're going to have our press conference reaction to everything he had to say on the Pewter Report podcast at 4 p.m. And in the meantime, make sure you follow us on all of our social media on X, Threads, Facebook, and Instagram. We are at Pewter Report, and our YouTube channel is Pewter Report TV. Please like and subscribe. We got a lot of great reaction videos, the podcast, clips. We'll have clips from Liam Cohen tomorrow up on our YouTube channel as well. So a lot of great stuff coming up in the world of the Bucks. So that's going to do it for us.
Well, we have one more comment here. Liam is a combination of Neeson's first name and Joel and Ethan's last name of Cohen. So yeah, it's Liam Cohen. It's not Liam Neeson. That's I have to admit, I've typed that a couple times already. it is not Liam Neeson. It is Liam Cohen. All right, take us out.
Until then, for Liam Neeson, for Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks everybody for watching. And we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Out.
Out.